Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 this is DJ Mobile Soul. I'd like to welcome you guys to another edition in Salsa in the City. Man, I'm telling you, I'm really excited about this show. We got Brandon from B-More. He's calling in. He's going to be our guest speaker today. And we got exciting information for you coming your way and tell you how your summer went, because it is now September and fall is now in session, so, man, I know you guys are disappointed, but I'm not. It was hot out there, and I'm just glad that it's fall time, or soon to be, and there's no reasons for that. Number one, football is now in session for my football fans. Yeah, so without that ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring on my homegirl, Helena. How are you doing, Helena?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm doing great, man. I mean, I had 2 weeks off. I mean, my vacation, I was in Costa Rica for 2 weeks ago, and I was just chilling, man. I was by the beach and had a great time, had a wonderful time, you know. Me and Chica went down there. It was her birthday, so I took her to Costa Rica for her birthday, and we had a blast, man. The only thing I wish we saw was some whales, because it was supposed to be peak season for hunchback whales, and I was hoping they would jump out of water, but it didn't happen. But we did see a lot of monkeys, sloths, alligators in the wild, man. I was like, yo, this is crazy, but had a great time. How's everything with you, Helena?
I'm kidding. I'm busy as always. I had a pretty intense weekend. I did the Yanni's Marshall's heels class workshop that they had over there in Virginia, the Crown Studio. So my body got worked in heels for about 3 or 4 hours. I think I was starstruck. I've never seen somebody so beautiful in person, and then even more beautiful when they were moving in their choreography. It was just amazing. So that was the highlight of my weekend. I definitely was preparing for that. I'm looking forward to when they bring them back down again. Huh?
Let me get this straight. Your body was worked.
Yes.
You're telling me that Helena body was worked. This girl, for those who don't know Helena, this girl is fit. I mean, you know, I can't speak on it because, you know, I'll get in trouble, but this girl is tight. Model material. You know, and her body was worked.
It was worked because the thing is that, you know, as a dancer, you know, you condition yourself and you're doing salsa, bachata, and partner work and everything. You know, this is more like a jazz choreography where you're moving left and right, up and down, in heels, so to speak, and you're learning it for the first time. And not only that, you take out the cuteness and you bring out nothing but sexiness and sassy. So you forget being cute. And it's all about working them heels and just looking like, you know, hot stuff on heels. And it was just a lot of information. It was hard, and I was extremely happy that I got through it. And it's motivated me to push myself more. I heard he just moved in from France to New York. So he'll be there doing classes during the weekday and then traveling all around the state doing workshops everywhere. So I'm super excited about that, motivated to go up to New York. I have to anyways, but that's definitely one thing on my bucket list, to go over there and when he comes back down here. So yes, I got worked. I definitely got worked, and I did it all in heels the whole entire time, so I was proud of myself. So
that's what's up. Well, you know what, Helena, I thank you. I don't say this enough, because you do make time for us. You make time for me hosting the show, and I really appreciate that, because I know you're a busy woman. I mean, you do a couple of dance teams. You host your own events, and man, you work out and you get that body right too. On top of that, I'm like, yo. So I really appreciate it, and you sharing your love with us as well as everybody, all the listeners. So
yeah.
With that being
said, appreciate the love.
You know,
thank you.
No problem. With that being said, you know, I was thinking, summer's over and we had crazy salsa festivals this past summer. I mean, I didn't even know. Some people were like, there's a Congress going on. I'm like, really? Which one?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know New York this past. We definitely had the D.C. Bachata. I mean, it's not a salsa Congress, but we also have a salsa with Southern Salsa with my man Earl Rush. So you could include that. You have Tampa Salsa Fest, Boston Salsa Fest.
We had Charlottesville, too, because I was at that one. Yeah.
Yeah, Charlottesville. Got the salsa and bachata there with my man Skip. Shout out to North Carolina House. Man, we also have Puerto Rico as well. I mentioned that earlier. And for those who don't know, out there on the other side of the world, we also have the Morocco Salsa Festival there as well. So, I mean, and it's not over because we still got some stuff going on, but it seemed like the sun was just the room. And don't forget about the D.C. Salsa Congress as well. That was back in June, but
we even had an Inner Fusion Festival for the first time, too. I mean, we had an Inner Fusion Festival.
Yeah.
I know Berlin Salsa Congress was around this time. Now, either it's going on now or it just passed. You think about it, there's so many events going on each month, and you just have to figure out which one you want to do. I think I talked to somebody recently, and, like, she had to pump her brakes, and she had gone to Mexico. She went to Texas. I think she went to L.A., and then, like, the Bachata Congress, and then, like, she had to pump her brakes because, you know, money got spent on everything. You know, you have to recuperate, but there's so many events going on. It's, like, ridiculous how many things are going on these days, which is not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. It's just, you know, which one do you choose is where it boils down to, you know?
And that's the whole thing, because Earl, we had Earl in a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that sausage is expanding and that's what's going on. But is that a good thing? Because what I'm saying to myself, like you said, it's so many. And I don't know, I'm not a baller, you know. I work. I work for those
yeah.
who don't know. DJ a couple of nights. And, you know, sausage DJ, we don't make that much money. People be like, oh, you're DJ, so you, no, no, we don't make a lot of, we don't make a lot of money.
We all have regular jobs.
I do work on the, yeah, regular jobs, you know. And I can't afford, I mean, I can't afford to go to these conferences, not all of them at least. And, I mean, I have to pick and choose which one I'm going to go. So I'm wondering, is that a good thing? Because Earl said we're expanding, but just like a balloon, we blow too much air in the balloon. A balloon span too, but if you blow too much air in it, it's going to bust. And what you're going to have,
yeah, but,
no balloon. You're gonna,
Well, I agree with you. You know, like there's too many events, or not too many. I wouldn't say there's too many, because too many makes it sound like it's a bad thing. But before, when it was just one event or two events a month, then people had no other choice but to go to those events. But now that we have all these multiple events going on, it's almost kind of like, you know, who's got a better event, you know, who's got, you know, what experience do I want to experience, you know, have, you know, do I remember this event, you know, not being the greatest last year, so I'm not going to go to this event, but I'm definitely going to go to this one that's coming up, this new one, you know. So with the fact that we have so many events, people actually have the opportunity to choose. And being in this area, I mean, I think I'm probably spoiled because this area has really good DJs. We have so many festivals and events. We're like a fusion of bachata, kizomba, salsa, kazook, not to mention all the other genres that are out there, you know, Cuban salsa. We have so many things going on here in this area that now we can actually pick and choose. And so when you get down to the, you know, when you boil down to it, you know, you look at costs, you look at, you know, did I get what I wanted out of that last event? Did I enjoy it? You know, was it organized? Was it disorganized? You know, how did I feel? Did I feel welcomed? You look at all those things, and then you kind of figure, like, I don't think I'm going to go to that one, or I will go to that one because I remember I had a blast at that event. So with all those different events going on, people are picking and choosing now. So it's kind of more competitive if you think about it. And then at the same time, organizers work with everybody or who they want to work with to make sure that they promote it. So it's just a matter of, like, people have to join forces to get those events out there as well. It can't just be, well, I'm just going to do this because it's my name on there. It has to be, you know, everybody has to work together now. So,
That's where the problems start, because you mentioned a couple of things people got to promote. No, they don't promote. They don't promote. What they do is they get people who have a following, and they get them, hey, I want you to be at my event, and the people. And then they don't even, they pull a couple of things on Facebook, a couple of pictures, and say, okay, all right, got the event, so now I got to get a DJ that has a following. I have to get an instructor with a following. Presto, got me a social. And it takes away some of the actual, the roles. And then what you have is not really quality. You have people, I mean, which is important. You have to have people. Everybody got to be people person. Don't get me wrong, you know. And it's okay to have competition. It's good to have competition. But what's happening is people not, you know, competing or they're not trying to better their event. They just copying off what somebody else did, and then, you know, they get the same people almost. They're like, well, you know, let's get this same instructor. That's which is okay, but, you know, you have to put your stamp on it. That's what we're losing. There's no identity. And that's where some of these events and congresses, I think, start to lose its appeal, because, okay, I'm going to go to New York. Which one am I going to go to, New York or this other Congress? And I'm like, New York is probably a better bet because I'm expecting a lot more people. They have a lot more people probably offering, and it's nothing different than this other Congress I'm going to pick. But if you have something like, you know, let's mention North Carolina. I don't want to mention on conferences because I don't want to get myself in trouble. So North Carolina had a nice little twist to it. They had like beach parties and pools. So I'm like, I like the pool. So, you know, people have their choices and it do give people a choice, but unless you don't have that extra, you know, twist to it, it doesn't, it seems like we're just reinventing the wheel and people just start, you know, getting bored and we kind of, you know, saturating the market, you know? So anyway,
yeah,
we can go on and on, but I just, the thing that I just don't like about the Congresses, and this is a little bit political on my end, is that a lot of these Congresses and festivals, they have, they invite artists and DJs and people to help with the event, but anybody or they bring in these, you know, New Jack, they're up and coming and they probably got a lot of good skills, but they didn't pay their dues yet. And there's some other DJs that are well, you know, well-liked and very good and artists as well and instructors, and they be like, you know, they get short-handed or they don't get asked to be invited because they come of course. And because there's so many events going on, people have to kind of like, for the promoters, and I understand their part, they have to get, they have to work with the numbers. They have to try to get labor for zero or low cost just to keep up with a couple of headliners so they could pay them off and then people and get the tickets at a reasonable cost. And that's where I feel like we just losing it because we're losing the quality. We got all these events, but, you know, a lot of people are picking and choosing, so the numbers doesn't match up of what they expected. So the promoters have to drop the numbers down so they make the money, you know, the tickets appealing. And then what they do is they get a couple of DJs that are well done, pay them, and then they get a couple other people and have them work for free, and people that work the desk for free, and a couple of instructors that work for little. And it's unfortunate because at the end of it all, it's like we don't really get the quality. And that's where I think this is going. So anyway, I'm already tired. You know, I'm hyped up, and I'm already tired. But anyway, that's the politics of all, and I understand it because I've been there. I started DJing, and I came up there. I came to the salsa scene, and I hustled a little bit. Yeah, I work for nothing, you know, because I want to try to make a name for myself. But on the other end of it, there's a lot of DJs there that was well worth it, and I appreciate it. You know, I understand. We all got to do it, you know. But it seems like now it's becoming more and more of a trend, and I don't know. I'm seeing more sides of it, and I understand it. But anyway.
Hey, Melanie, I hear your comment. She was saying, you know, why does it need to be a twist? It used to be about music and dance. It's a twist because, you know, you have to think about the people who are actually investing money to throw these events. They're not going to they made so much money just doing just the music and dancing, then they wouldn't go so crazy on spending all this money to get all these artists to come in. So there is some sort of form of advertisement that they need to get out of there, not just the dancing, because we can't just depend solely on dancers. So I see where they try to make it entertaining for those who are not really big on dancing, but they want to watch the shows and see that, or just take lessons and get better, you know, because how often do you get instructors from all around the world just to come here on a regular weekend? You have to have these congresses in order to do that. So it's not just, Congress is not just having dancing and the music, it's also the experience that you're going to get. You know, I remember when I first started going to congresses, I was taking workshop after workshop after workshop. Now I find myself doing private after private after private just because I'm such a busy person. But it's what you get out of the experience. But I think what Mambo Soul was saying was that, you know, where it gets to a point where, you know, these artists who are upcoming artists that haven't paid their dues, like a lot of us have, and they're just getting out there and they're getting that exposure, becoming instant, where there's some artists, you know, that haven't, you know, they've been around for a while, they've been busting their butts in the studio and they haven't had that opportunity, or DJs who have been here for a long time and has helped grow the actual you know, these events and volunteer their time for whatever pay they got. And now that everything's so big, they're not being asked to come back. You know, so these are some of the frustrations that I think, you know, Mambo Soul was talking about. Not just the experiences, but like the support that we get in general to throw these events and community thing, if anything, it's the community of dancers, you know, students, promoters, DJs, instructors, everything. It's the whole package. And then we bring these other dancers from everywhere else that come and make it even a plus, but you can't forget about the community, because community is what basically is what you depend on in general. Even if you don't get a lot of out-of-towners, you have the community, and who tells the community? The instructors, the students, the dancers, the people, the DJs, you know, it's the community here in Baltimore and in D.C. or Virginia that are the strongest selling point. And then the people that come from out of town, they hear about this. So it's definitely a big, huge thing. It's not just one or two aspects of this.
Ash, and don't get me wrong. I'm talking this to the promoters. So, you know, don't be blacklisting me, because I keep telling, you know, I tell people, you know, hey, I understand your name, because I do that stuff too. I promote. I have my own events, and it is expensive. I mean, just what you know, Salsa Underground, it's expensive, and I understand. I feel your pain. I know what I'm doing doesn't even measure up of what you're doing. Because Congress, I don't even touch it, because I feel like it's so much trust and so much risk. You know, you have to cut your ends. You have to cut people off, because you're not going to make money. You're not going to make your money. If you are one of the big events and you have a huge turnout, it's very hard to pay that bill. And, I mean, I'm stressed. I'll be stressed out when I got, you know, 20 G's or 50 G's I got to pay out, and I'm only getting, like, I see my invoice and I see $2,000, and I'm like, I'm about to have a heart attack, so I definitely understand that. So it's just a dilemma. I see from both ends. I'm a DJ. I used to be, you know, I'm still a dancer, and I also promote and have my own events. I see it from all perspectives. So I think that part of it is that it's so many events, there's so much competition, which is a good thing, because it gives people a choice. But at the same time, it really puts the promoter and everybody else that's involved, I guess, behind the eight ball. I guess you want to say that. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking, because we have our guest teacher. I mean, yo, this is my boy. He's been holding on, and I really appreciate him coming in, and I really appreciate his patience, because he's a trooper, and I really appreciate them holding. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and introduce. We have Brandon. Brandon, what's up? Brandon Bachata from Baltimore. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, bro, man? How you doing, man? What's going on, Elena?
Hey, thanks for being patient.
Yeah. I'm here watching some sports and making me some hot dogs. Getting ready to get my eat on.
Yeah, well. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I've been wanting, you've been on my list of people to get on the show. And I was like, hey, I have Brandon come on the show. Brandon, definitely have to have Brandon, definitely represent Baltimore. But I hope you were listening in to what Mambo Soul was talking about, as far as, you know, these congresses and the community and everything that he's been talking about, and want to get your take on that. Definitely want to get your take on, you know, what you feel, you know, how you, your opinion on the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to him, and he got a lot of good points. I mean, it's almost like that situation we had up here in Baltimore. Like, you know, it's hard to run a Congress. Like, we got friends, you know, that ran a Congress, and, you know, they told us some of the, you know, little inside things about running it. And like you said, it's a lot of money, and we were actually asked, Nancy and myself were asked to, you know, step up and actually help pick over our Congress. But for that same reason, like you said, looking at that money, we was like, nah, we just can't do it. Like you said, we know it. You know, it's a lot to go into. And I was like, you know, I ain't trying to take that risk. Like, not to say that I don't think we could have possibly done it, but it's just like, yeah, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot to deal with. is something you got to be, you know, for all year round. It's not like, you know, Congress time, let's go. It's like, let's start from the day the Congress over, you pretty much start working the next day to start getting the next year ready. So I know it's a hard thing. As far as the events, you know, I feel both ways, you know, about a lot and a little. Like you say, with a lot of venues going on, or a lot of congresses and festivals and stuff going on, like you say, it's good for people to have the option to pick and choose, or just not just for the venue, but just to travel. Because I know, like you said, this whole past month, going from August to September, like you said, we had Tampa, New York, you had D.C., you had Boston, you just had Atlanta last weekend. So there was like, there's one, like you say, in Texas, there was L.A. Festival. So it was like probably 7 or 8 close by ones within the United States or close by that you could have went to. But like you said, the downside is that it kind of stretches some of the congresses out, because you have some that are in close proximity, like along the East Coast, that are happening within a week away, a week or 2 weeks away. Like you say, everybody don't have that money, because just like, yeah, I know I teach, but I still have a day job, and I don't get a lot of money off of teaching, so I got to pick and choose. Like, hey, I'm going to go to New York this weekend, but I ain't going to go to Tampa, or I'm not going to go to D.C. because, you know, I only got enough money really to spend for one event. So it can kind of stretch the events out and thin them out a little bit. People can lose some participants, but I think overall, I mean, it has its pluses and minuses about it.
Mm-hmm. So what would make you pick one event over another event? I mean, what is it that you look for when you're actually choosing which one you want to go to? Because, you know, all of them you have to travel to, if you got to travel far. But what is it that makes you choose to go back to the event or go to the event in the first place?
For me, it's two things. One is who's teaching, because even though I'm a teacher, I still consider myself a student. So I'm always still willing to take classes and learn from people. So if I see somebody got a really good instructor lineup, that's like one of the main things that's going to make you want to go. Second, also, you're going to look at the performances. Not really for me from the actual performances, but what type of people are going to be at a social dance with. Like, if I can find a good congress that has good instructors, and then, like you said, on top of the instructors, they bring good teams that I know those teams have good dancers, not just the team dancers, but more than likely if it's in a good scene, like if it's in New York or Boston or D.C., or, you know, in these areas that has Texas, Houston, that has good dancers in the area, that's automatically going to attract me to go. Because I know with the good teachers that's teaching the workshops, along with the good teams or instructors or performers that are there performing, I know when it's time to social dance, I know I'm going to have plenty of good dancers or good followers to dance with. So those are probably my main two things that make me go.
Yeah, he's right, though. I think I was stationed in Germany, and I started, you know, checking out the European festival congresses, and one that I drove a long way to go see was the Zurich one, and I think when they had just started doing that festival or whatever, they had three huge rooms, and they were all dedicated to, like, maybe salsa. A Cuban salsa, I don't know what the other one was, I just can't remember, but there were so many people that went to this event, and I remember they had so many good dancers and performers, and the workshops were really great. I killed my feet going and doing the workshops all day and then dancing all night, but I remember that the dancers, just like the regular dancers that were out there, I don't even think a lot of them were, I mean, there were a lot that were performers, but some weren't. They were amazing. And I remember I kept telling myself, if I go back, you know, I want to come back to that festival because I had such a great time, all the dances, the experience, the shows, everything. You know, I agree with you, you know, like that will draw you back to come back for more. Plus, you know, everyone was really friendly. I didn't feel like it, you know, I didn't feel like it wasn't inviting. You know, anyone I grabbed to dance, you know, was really sweet and great and fun and, you know, would dance with me again. So the whole overall experience is also great. Plus, I also saw a lot of people from D.C. that came to that event. We were just saw a whole bunch of people from D.C. at that event out of the blue. So that was fun, too. Yeah. But,
yeah,
I agree with you. Like, it's good that you go and you look at that. I think I do the same thing. I actually check out the lineup. And I do remember, you know, there's some dancers or performers that they don't dance social dance. they will follow
Jersey
off to the side. So if I know there's a lot of those, then that's always something I think about as well. But if I know just in general, like the teams, like, you know, everyone I know from Art in Motion, they're always out there dancing. Darlin's like one of the best dancers that I know, or favorite dancers that I know. And he dances the whole entire night.
Nonstop.
And, yeah, he's nonstop, you know, and he's doing it all night long. And there's some dancers in New York that I favor as well. So I see your point on that. I see your point, definitely.
You,
and some of the DJs, too.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta say, one thing, another thing on top of that is, for me to pick, sometimes I will pick a combo so far that has less when it comes to, like, things happening throughout the night. Like, I know some congresses, like, they like to do a lot of big things and Jack and Jills and these contests and all this other stuff that's happening throughout the night. And for me, I always think, like, just let the music play. Let the DJs play the music. If you got a band, let the band play. If you got a DJ, let the DJ play. But don't stop the night, like, 3-4 times throughout the night to make announcements and do stuff like that for Congress. I'm like, if I see an event that has, like, a lot of that going on, I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah. Well, some events have, like, a lot of things going on throughout the whole entire day. So then you have to pick and choose what you want to do. Workshops, party, no sleep. Shows or dance later concert. I mean, you have to pick and choose. I think is sometimes it gets a little too much. Especially if you have to perform as well.
Yeah, no, usually those days I won't do anything. The most I might do is one or two workshops, and then I just relax and then wait till my show, and then, like you say, but that could be one of those things where you pay, because sometimes, depending on how big the festival is, you might have to pay extra to cover all that, but it's like, if you got shows and stuff like that, you know, you can't really, well, it wouldn't be a good idea for me to, like, go out there and, like, party hard knowing you got a show. And you actually might miss out on a lot of that stuff because, you know, you got to save your energy to perform.
Is there a favorite Congress that you like, or one that you had a memorable experience at?
DC Bachata Congress, that's always good. Like you say, Lee, because Lee goes all out. Like, he brings any, like, the best and everybody to come. And it's so multifaceted. Like, there's so much going on that you can go there, and it's close. That's another good one of the closer ones. That's really good. I really enjoyed Tampa. Tampa for me was like one of my best ones. Island Touch did a great job. They do a great job with Tampa. It's so organized. They get a lot of good talent. Last year when I went, I didn't go this year, but I went last year. They had Oscar De Leon, and his freaking performance was amazing. And Houston was really, really good.
Yeah, I remember Nancy telling me that Houston's like a big event.
Yeah.
You guys get they have like a nice stage and the shows are great. I haven't been out to that one yet.
It's like ran by like a nonprofit organization, so it's like really, really organized. Like, they got like a committee and everything, and like they do everything is just like geared towards making the Congress good. And I mean, from top down, they usually get good people come, good shows. You know, it's a real nice area. It's really good. One that I haven't been to that I heard was really, really good is Big in San Antonio. So that's on my list definitely next year to get there.
Cool.
You know,
Congresses.
Go ahead, Helena.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that, you know, if they wanted to call in, the number is also on the event, but it's 929-477-2764. That's 929-477-2764. So if you want to call in and you want to go ahead and, you know, say something, go ahead and don't be shy and call us up. You know, we're definitely excited to hear from anyone and everyone.
Yeah, we got the lines. Actually, the lines are blowing up, man. They are blowing up. A few people right now on hold. So we're going to keep going. One of the events I wanted to share, you know, I want to give my two cents, because one of the Salsa Congress that I've been to, they're all good. I mean, Lee is doing it up. I can't take that away. The guy, he is one of the biggest congresses in the world, no lie.
And don't forget about the D.C. Conference. We got to show love to our hometown, man. And shout out to my man Dola. He's actually he took over and he got the Baltimore Falcons. So I mean that's gonna be. But we got to take care of our own. We got to take care of our hometown. But one of the comments I really really enjoy. Man, I want to go back. It's been about 5 years. Was a Morocco South Conference. Man, that was killer. That was killer. And when I went there, the music was fire. The environment was amazing. I mean, we talking about they play good hard 1-1 goal, and they switch it up. They play a little Kanye. They had three DJs, and they mixed it all up all together. And we had one playing 1-1 goal, and they had one playing a little Kanye, and then I think one other person played a little bit of a Romantica, and it was a nice mix between the DJs. Great dances. The beautiful place. We had this one venue. It was in a resort, so you stayed in Villa. And they had pool parties. They had their annual like beach party, dressed in white. And it was a beautiful place in Morocco. It was just a fabulous time. I can't go because I don't have the money to go that far, but that one time experience was great for me. But that was my enjoyment. And like I said, New York was one of my favorites, too, because it was actually my first Congress as a DJ. I mean, I was there, and rest in peace, Choco. He was a big guy, always bringing one of the biggest Congresses as well. And it was my first event when I DJed, and I had a great time. I DJed in the V-Lounge, and it was me, Cohen, and Sayoko from Texas. We all just rocked it, and it was an amazing experience. It was the best experience that I had. So shout out to my hometown, New York. So all those places were great, and there's so many. I mean, they all come with good flavor. The only thing, it would be great to have a little bit of contrast, a little change of pace, something type of twist so that I know at least this is what I'm expecting, not like I'm getting the same thing that I went to a couple of days ago, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, that's my little two cents. So going forward, we just wanted to touch base with you, Brandon. You mentioned, you know, you up in Baltimore right now, and you holding it down, bro. I mean, I remember when I first moved up here, I actually stayed in Baltimore for a few months. I was staying with my family. I, for those who don't know, I have family in Baltimore, and I used to stay out there. And I went to my first event. I think it was one of the first, the Friends, Circle of Friends with Sean Clymer. And
yeah.
I think I was having an event. That was awesome. And you've been doing big things, man. You got the mental dance team. Doing big things. So tell me a little more about your dancing, Sentimental.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. We up here. We're currently teaching Catonsville. Right up here. Right outside of Baltimore. Right here by the county line. Me and Nancy, you know, we started the company. We were with, like you said, we were at Sean Clymer, Georgia Boy Dance. We were just kind of trying to do more because, you know, everybody was teaching classes, but we always thought about performing. Was always interested in, so we kind of just got together and we was working together. We did like a bachata boot camp, and it was like we should do like bachata choreography. Nobody's doing bachata choreography down here, so then we kind of did one, got a whole bunch of people come out, and we had a good, nice turnout. And then from there, you know, we just kept saying, okay, well, we do something else, you know, do something else. And then I started really getting interested in salsa more, because you know before I was hardcore bachatero. You know, Nancy told
That's
me
the
about
name, Brandon Bachata.
Yeah.
That's the name, Brandon Bachata.
Yeah, I didn't get that one, you know. but, yeah, I was, like, hardcore. And then Nancy, you know, she told me about, you know, dancing salsa. I danced a little bit. But then she told me, Nancy actually started when she first started training. She first started learning from Yamale when she first was in New York. The studio, Yamale studio, was probably literally, like, 10-minute walk from my mom's house. So Nancy actually first started training with Yamale. And she started telling me about them. I'm like, oh, we got to go back up there. We got to learn salsa. And then once, I was like, okay, I'll try it out. And then I was just like, it just blew my mind, man. Like, those guys are, like, amazing. So, yeah, that was it. That was, like, that did it for me, man. I started going up to New York more, training with them. I said, you know, I'm going to bring that down to Baltimore, D.C. area, and we're going to push to try to get some, you know, some hardcore Salseros in the area, or at least some teams going. I know that was true in D.C., but it was, like, really nothing in Baltimore, and that was, like, our biggest goal was, you know, raise awareness about the culture and everything, but just really bring, like, certified instruction and techniques taught by some of the best to bring them to Baltimore, actually teach and train people that really are serious and really want to learn how to dance salsa, like technique-wise. I know there's a lot of people who frown upon it in this area. You know, even I feel as though personally that some people look at us here like, oh, you guys are too serious. You guys are you just too much. You guys are training and we gotta practice too much. We just want to have fun. We want to go dance and blah blah blah. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm not telling nobody, you know, what to dance salsa. You can't have fun. Like, you got to dedicate your life to 8 hours of training every day and nothing like that. But, you know, that's something we really want to create is, because you have people that come to us all the time and we hear them say, like, oh, I really want to learn how to dance, or you guys are good. Like, how do I get good? And then when we start telling them, like, what it takes to really, you know, really get to the level that they see and want to be, then they kind of get a little, you know, deterred. So that's just our goal here. We just want to keep pushing for that. Like, for anybody that really – want to train and really want to learn how to dance and really serious about it. They really, really want to improve. Like, we just want to focus on those people, and that's what we push here with Sentimiento in Baltimore.
And I have a lot of respect for you guys for doing that. You guys, you know, both, you know, military background, you know, fist bump right here. So your mentality is definitely disciplined, and I think that's great to have, and definitely have passion behind that. I'm not sure if the motivation was to get on Nancy's good side to learn salsa when you guys were dating before you guys got married, but that's definitely a plus. I think you did right by listening to what Nancy said. but Nancy, she told me that she's very excited. She's not able to call in because, you know, she's got some bad reception, so her calling in, she might drop her call. But Nancy said she's very excited that, you know, we got Dola taking over the Baltimore Congress. You know, she's excited about, you know, the organization and what they're going to do to take it to the next level. You know, I'm excited as well. So I'm pretty sure we've got more to come with that. But definitely, I've seen your team grow, and it's great. And to know that, you know, you guys are making an impression in Baltimore, you know, I give you nothing but props and love. You got my support.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Yeah, it's tough, you know. But... yeah, we keep pushing. Keep doing what we're doing, you know. So we just can't conform. Just stay what we're doing, you know. I'm just like anybody out there, you know. If you're looking to learn something different, you know. We, like I said, we're the only company pushing on to here in Baltimore. So that's another big thing. I know Marsha. I believe Marsha is up here. I think she does some stuff on too. But I know we're like hardcore pushing on too. So, you know, it's a little rough because people aren't. You know, it's new, or it's different, not even new, it's just different to a lot of people here, and, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable being uncomfortable again, you know what I'm saying, so.
Yeah, I mean.
So, real quick, and I didn't mean to interrupt, because we got a couple callers, and I want to bring them in, because they've been so patiently. Hey, I do have a couple more questions to ask you, Brandon, so can you just hang out with us real quick, and take
a
couple calls back?
I'm chilling, bro.
So, yeah, I have Christina. She's, you know, she called in, and I want to just bring her in.
Thank you.
Hey, Christina. How you doing, Christina?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
For those who don't know, this is Christina. She's representing Frederick, Virginia. I got Brandon and Helena online. Thank you for calling.
No. Hey, thank you for having me. I'm really grateful that you took the time to take my phone call.
Oh no.
We're
doubt.
Happy to have
no,
you
no,
call.
So the first thing I had to ask you.
What made me?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
How did you feel about the Salsa Congress review? What's your favorite and what you like about it, if there's any, or what you don't like?
Okay, so I'm pretty I'm a newbie in the scene, basically. I've only been dancing for a few years. I have not had the I have not been to any of the salsa congresses here. However, I've been to Puerto Rico twice now, to the World Salsa Congress, and I just went this July. So I have nothing really to compare to, except to say that their days and evenings are mostly geared towards workshops and live bands. That's how they do their salsa congresses. Now, I have heard a lot about the congresses here, and a lot of people love the one in New York and Boston. I have friends that have gone to the D.C. one, and they love it. So, I just don't have anything to compare to at this time. But I plan on being there at one point in time.
That's all right.
We have one coming up in October.
Yeah, I know there's one coming up in October. I will be in Germany at that time, so I won't be able to come to that one. But I'm definitely going to look up my people in Germany. Germans love the salsa. And I've found a couple spots to, in my hometown even to go salsaing to. So it's great worldwide.
Where's your hometown?
Hometown is Fulda. It's about an hour north of Frankfurt.
Oh, Frankfurt has a great salsa scene there. I love Frankfurt.
Yep.
There's a lot to do out there. They have a congress too. So
yeah. They do, yes, yeah. I think theirs is in March, and so I'm, baby steps. So I'll get there eventually.
No, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. So yeah, but I went to Puerto Rico, and this time I stayed for the entire Congress, and it was very interesting. Their skills in dancing salsa are phenomenal. I mean, the Colombians with their mambo style salsa is just amazing. That is something to just take in and be awed by. Yeah.
It's so funny. I've been to all these congresses, and the Puerto Rico Congress is the one I haven't had a chance to go to. I've been in Europe, and I've been to, Paris, Germany, Sweden, and Canada, and like Delta cruises and everything. I just haven't gotten to that one yet, and that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, I heard it is a very good one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I have to save money up for that one. I don't think I'm just going to go for the weekend. I think we're probably going to a whole week of that.
Yeah, and it wasn't all that bad. Puerto Rico is actually pretty reasonable. I think if you're looking for like a Airbnb and you stay there instead of the big hotels, and you kind of plan your flight out. I think all in all for that week with a car and everything, I think maybe I spent $1,500.
Yeah, that's what I did when I was traveling to all the ones in Europe. I did all Airbnb. I think I even did a hostel at one point to save money so I can travel to the rents and make sure I can afford it. But
and
you do what you got to do.
So it wasn't too bad. That was 9 days.
Nice.
Just $1,500 right there was nothing. I mean, she's like, it's just $1,500. I'm thinking
$500. Hey, when you really want to do it, you do it.
Yeah, that was my vacation, so, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, yeah.
That's well, if you're in Germany, go to Munich. I went to Munich, and it was great, great music. It was awesome there. Munich Salsa Congress was huge. I think it's actually in October too, coming up very shortly. I went last year, so that was pretty good. So
yeah,
I'm gonna try to
check it out.
Tell me, because you're doing big things as well down in Frederick, Virginia. Is that correct?
In Fredericksburg, yeah. So I got together with DJ Alex Adams. He's from the Fredericksburg area, and there has been some demand in the past 2 years again for salsa to come back to Fredericksburg. A lot of folks come down to Richmond and they go up to D.C., but I think they were really wanting something locally. So we found a spot that would have us to have a Saturday night salsa twice a month, and we're in love with the place. We just started in August, so it's brand spanking new. And so far, we've had a good response from people to come out and salsa with us. I teach a short basic lesson in the beginning of the night, and then we just go and dance until 1 a.m., you know, 2 o'clock, however long people want to stay. So it's been very welcoming and a lot of fun.
That's what's up, and then you're doing big things. Congratulations. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, thank you.
So I really appreciate you calling. Can you just give your information, let people know how to reach you?
Yeah. So they can look us up at Salsa at the Loft on Facebook. It's DJ Alex and Christina. We're at the Loft at Liberty Lane, 5801 South Point Center Boulevard in Fredericksburg. So that is where they can find us on the first and third Saturdays. Matter of fact, we have one coming up this coming Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock, and we go until everybody goes home.
Nice.
All right. Well,
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate that call. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Helena.
Well,
thank you, Sean.
You're welcome, Christina. That's Christina, y'all. So check her out. She's doing big things coming up. So her event is yourself. So we got another caller. I want to bring her in real quick and never got her name. Caller, how you doing?
Hi, Momo Souls.
Hi.
Who are we talking to? This is Linnea from Baltimore. We're at Casino Baltimore.
El Boogie.
Oh, hi.
El Boogie's in the house.
So what's going on?
I've been sitting here listening. First of all, thank you very much for organizing this blog show. I think it's a great idea. I want to comment about, we're talking about salsa congresses, and I heard you ask the other young lady, like, what did she like, what didn't she like? So for me personally, I do Cuban dance. So I like the inclusion of reggaeton and casino and other Cuban forms of dances at salsa congresses now. I can't say that I've been to many. In fact, my first one was in Baltimore around 2014. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. Like Helena said, feet hurt so bad by the end of the weekend. What I don't like is misrepresentation of dances. There was a hip hop class at the Baltimore Salsa Congress this past year, and I was just a bit confused about that form and what was being taught. So I don't know, what do you guys think about, like, misrepresentation of dance forms? Is that a such thing?
How was it misrepresented?
I don't know if it was my expectation that was just off, or the name of the class just wasn't exactly what they were doing. I just felt like it was a little bit different than what I'm used to with hip-hop dance. I felt like it was more like video girl kind of stuff.
Video girl.
You might be from New York or somewhere.
Well, I know there's different forms of hip hop, and I think when I was getting into learning it, that there's so many different styles of it that it depends on. Maybe they could have probably put it more in the description. If they just put it as hip hop, that's just like saying. I mean, that's like with salsa. There's, you know, people have a different style of salsa. They dance stuff on one, so it's on two. Cuban style salsa. So maybe they didn't put it in the description. Maybe that's something that can be fixed maybe in the future. I mean, I see your point. Like if you're taking a bachata class and they just put bachata, but it's a traditional, an urban or central. I mean, there's different styles. So was it in the description or it just said hip hop?
No, it just said hip-hop, and so I'm in there, and I'm like, oh, snap, we're going to be breaking, we get ready to, like, really get down with, like, hip-hop, And I was like, oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe we're just going to be sexy the entire time, which is no problem. I just, you know, what I expected was something different.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Yes.
I have a question for you. So I heard you talk about, like, you know, sometimes you, like, meet people who are like, oh, I just want to have fun, I just want to dance, and then, you know, like, you and Nancy are, like, complete bosses. So there's this gap between, unless you just, like, fell out of heaven and, like, swirling in glitter, dance glitter, like, you have to go from, like, beginner to, like, great. And so how do we address that gap between, you know, great dancers who are like, you know, I don't want to dance below my level, and beginners who are like, oh, man, I'm so intimidated. How do I get to that point?
Well, I think if anything, it's more geared towards the more experienced dancers, because you got to make those people of beginners. If you know somebody's a beginner and you know they're struggling, you can't be like a snob towards those type of people. Like, those people, they won't feel comfortable if you, you know, you act like you don't want to dance with them, or if you do dance with them, you treat them like, you know, that you can't even appreciate or acknowledge what type of level dancer they are. That's one thing I always say about any experienced dancer should be able to dance with anybody. Anybody. Like, if you know within the first three basic steps what type of level that dancer is on, you shouldn't be trying to just rip out your whole repertoire or moves just to try to, you know, show off or look good for other people or anything like that. And I think with just those with the experienced dancers and knowing how to interact more with the life experience, it's going to get those guys more of a positive experience dancing. You have those people who I personally, you know, came to me and told me, like, oh, man, they want to learn so bad, and then they danced with somebody, and they just felt horrible, and it kind of just completely just, like, demotivated them from wanting to learn because of that real bad experience. So it's like, if you get the people who are experienced and they can kind of, you know, try the nice, casual, social dance, not a performance with them, but a nice social dance to make them feel comfortable. Because that's one thing I hear a lot of beginners say, like, if you dance with somebody, a good lead or a good follower who knows how to dance to their dancer's level, they make them like, wow, I felt like I can do a lot of stuff that I couldn't do with nobody else. Or they make comments like that, let them know that they have something in them, that they're able to do it. They just say now, and they just know they gotta. It makes them want to put in the work, to work out, to practice more, and to try to get better. But if they get bad experiences on the dance floor, it's going to completely kill their drive and motivation to want to do anything. They're just going to, like you said, just stick to what they know and kind of just, you know, follow the crowd, what everybody else is doing. So I think that's a big thing, a better connection between the more experienced and beginner dancers.
Great answer. Thank you very much, sir, for saying that.
You're welcome.
That's all I needed to comment on.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Where?
Wow, so that was that took me back to when I was first starting to dance and how I felt when I pre-warned the person, you know, hey, you know, I'm just learning it, you know, or I'm getting there, I'm not that great, and that said dancer would just go ahead and just bust it out because the video cameras showed up. You know, people started recording or doing whatever. And I can't tell you how mortified I would feel knowing that, like, people are watching. And, you know, and with me, I think I was just starting out on the scene, so I didn't know who was who. So, you know, I might have picked somebody that was, like, really, really great, and I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden, like, the cameras come out because it's, like, you know, one of those great dancers or something. So it does intimidate you. It frustrates you. But I did have a good experience when with one of the Santa Rico dancers, where he was doing what you were talking about, was he recognized that I was, you know, not at that level, but he actually challenged me by, you know, doing more than just one spin, because I think I was always afraid to do spins, and it got me to feel more comfortable, and then I think after that I wanted to push myself, because I didn't even know I could actually spin more than once. I only thought I would fall on my ass, you know. Sorry,
didn't mean to say that, but I kind of felt like, you know, depending on the experiences you have when you're actually out there, it helps with you. And it, and as an instructor, like, you know, Brandon, what you were saying, you take those experiences that you had when you were first starting out and you try to learn from them, and then you make it a better experience for the person that you're dancing with, because, you know, that could be a potential student that might want to learn from you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. It's always, you always want to make somebody not feel so scared or you know, hesitant to want to dance with you, and you want them to feel good. So that's great that you actually feel that way, because I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been through it here. I mean, yeah, some people, you know, when you go out to dance, or they're like, oh, you can dance good. Like, and I dance, and they might be like, oh, no, I don't want to dance because you're a good dancer. And I'm like, no, come on, dance. And it's like, you know, they give you all the excuses. I'm a beginner. Well, I can't do nothing. But I'm like, but if you can just get them through a normal basic dance, lead them through a couple moves that, even though, like you said, they might not even think they can follow across by you. But as a lead, if you can properly lead them through it, and they do it, and, you know, you might see, oh, they get a little smile on their face, or their eyes open up, like, oh, I can do that. I didn't know I can do that. Like, it works. Like, you know, that gives mm-hmm. them the motivation to want to do more. Like, you know, and I think that comes with most of the instructors, or, like, the experienced dancers. They need to carry that type of culture for the community, because if you don't get it from the people up top, the people at the bottom, they're not going to follow it. So if you're top
exactly.
people are all about, you know, pushing for classes and learning and developing and getting better and, you know, and developing your technique. If your top people in your community are all about that, of course, everybody else is going to want to be about that, because they're going to see what it becomes. That's why New York is so good, because you can go up to New York, like you say, probably the people, bottom-level people, are still pretty decent dancers compared to mostly any other scene, because the people at the top, they're hardcore.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to follow that lead. So I think, you know, it starts with the people who are the ones, you know, putting themselves out there as instructors. Like, if you're going to do that, you got to make sure you come with the right mentality, because you can't have a casual so-so, oh, it doesn't really matter mentality, but you're out there leading and calling yourself an instructor, and you're the one that's pushing for these students to come, the classes. So.
Yeah.
Now, Brandon, real quick, because, you know, we're good. Just want to get back to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned to me a couple of days ago, or actually last week, you have something new coming to Baltimore?
Yeah. Give me the date. September 26th, on Monday, we got a new Monday night venue, you know. That's something that happens a lot in Baltimore. These venues are coming or come and go. But hopefully we can get another one that stays. We've been losing a couple of good ones from Talara, or even Havana, then Casino, Maryland Live, that just closed down, Anastasia on Wednesdays. These are really good venues that we're losing because, you know, some of the lack of support. But, you know, El Buffalo is the name of the venue. It's in Canton Square. You know, lessons start at 8:30 to 9:30, then we're going to dance from 9 till, like you said, when everybody leaves for the most part. Right in Canton Square, we're going to do the second and fourth Monday to start off. Hopefully, you know, if everybody come out, continue to support the venue, you know, it can grow. You know, this is one of the new venues that we're trying to do where, you know, we're really trying to include everybody, and we do mean everybody in the community. You know, DJs, all the instructors, you know, because that's one thing Baltimore has, is a lot of some drama up here, some division amongst certain groups or whatever. So, but we just want to, like, just have something for the community. Like, everybody can enjoy, you know, and just have a good time. Go back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's just dancing and enjoying ourselves, having a good time. So, maybe September 26th is opening night, so. It's called El Buffalo. It's in Canton Square. Hope you can make it out. No cover charge. Free to get in. Free lesson. And we're just going to party.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that. And we're going to have to wrap up in a few minutes. But I'm glad that you mentioned about the drama. You know, I came to Baltimore a few years ago, and I came in on the tail end. And I wanted to ask your opinion. What actually happened? I mean, I heard a lot of stuff. I heard stuff from both sides, you know, because I'm cool with everybody. You know, you and Nancy yeah. have been great. You come to South of the Ground, you know, y'all cool people. And the other promoters is great as well. You know, some of the people that I work with closely is, like, you know, good friends of mine. They express really, you know, some stuff that was kind of shocking. I mean, to the point where somebody was threatened. What happened?
Me personally, for me, it was just people, just having disagreements about way things should be done. About, you know, most of it just common courtesies and stuff like that. You know, things went south. People have disagreements, whatever. And, you know, some people take things further than others. Things kind of blew up. But, you know, you try to get past all that. Like, at the end of the day, we all doing the same thing. If we all love it, you know, we all love it. Let's, you know, spread the good part, the joy, what it's supposed to bring, and not to just hang on to that stuff and just keep, you know, wanting to keep that type of separation going. Like, I know us, we get along with pretty much everybody, all the other promoters and instructors in our area. So it's kind of just like whatever, just like get over it, like let it go. Like we all adults. Like, you know, people have done things. I've done said some things. Other people, a lot of people have done said things that they probably shouldn't have out of anger or whatever. But it's kind of just like, all right, get over that now. Like, that's years ago. Like, we're all adults. We all have a good time doing what we're doing. Why not just, you know what I'm saying, keep the positive energy that's supposed to be in it and just keep pushing it. Like, you know, I mean, nobody's, you know, I know I didn't threaten nobody's life or anything like that. So I'm like just, like, move on. Like, just let's just keep it moving. So that's why I stand on it. Like,
you mentioned earlier, and I really appreciate your honesty, because we don't want to open up any, you know, old wounds or anything like that. You mentioned to me a couple of days ago that your goal is to try to bring Baltimore back together again. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know we personally, like Nancy and myself, we personally be busy, you know, with the team and everything. We don't go out as much. Some of it, but a bit of that was for a good time. We stopped going out because it was just so much drama and bullcrap. We just like, you know what, we don't even want to be out because, you know, it just felt weird being out because, you know, like, ooh, this person was saying this and this was going on and this person told this person that. Like, I had a dude at the D.C. Congress. He walked up to me and was like, I actually met him when I was in Puerto Rico about 4 years ago, and he remembered me from Puerto Rico, and he was at the D.C. Bachata Congress. And he was like, hey, what's going on, Brandon? You remember me? And I'm like, yeah, I remember you. His name was Frazier. And he was like, yeah, I was just talking to somebody. And he was like, they said you're an ass. I'm sorry, a-hole and all those other stuff. And I'm like, whoa, like, who said that? And he, you know, he told me who the person was. And I just kind of like, that's just, like, ridiculous. Like, why even take it there to tell some random person that you didn't even know that I knew. You didn't know I knew him, but as soon as he saw me, he was like, yeah, I just talked to the person. They said this about you. And I'm just like, whatever, you know. Just keep it moving. Don't even worry about it. And just focus on, you know, getting back out in the community and, like, going back there. Because ultimately that's something that we really want to do is, like, really do stuff for Baltimore. Like, I was born and raised here. Like, so I'm probably newer to the community than most of the other people that have been here for a while, most of the other promoters. But I'm like, a lot of these people weren't born and raised here. I'm born and raised here. So when people say Baltimore, like, I take it to heart, like, what this thing could be. Because this is my city. So that's how I feel about it. So I just want to, like, get past all that and just, like, just go out and have fun again. Like, you know, all the venues and all the parties. Like, I used to when I first started. I just went out five, six nights a week to everybody's venue. Like, why can't we get back to that? So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
And I feel you. And I already appreciate that. So once again, Brandon, I'd like to thank you for calling in and being a host with us and holding it down.
You know, appreciate it, man. Definitely. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. I have one more thing to say before I wrap this up along, you know, because we're already past time. But Nancy wants you to go ahead and let everybody know about the Shine Challenge. The Shine Challenge is coming up because I know I'm going to be doing the Shine Challenge, so you need to go ahead and get the word out.
Tell us you should have called in. You'd have sent out messages.
Say yeah, boss mom. Lady doesn't want to call in. Boss lady didn't want to call in. Me and her have been talking, but she didn't want to call in. But she wanted me to tell you to let everybody know about the Shine Challenge.
All right. Well, cool. All right. Well, the Shine Challenge I got coming up on September 25th is the same Sunday that Joe Smarley, you know, one thing I'm going to say, I'm so happy that Joe Smarley has come to Baltimore. You don't know how good we feel about that, to have somebody, you know, that's out there pushing a skilled, trained dancer that knows what it's like to put in the hard work to become a good dancer. To have that second voice. Yes. To have that second voice there, you know, saying some of the same things we've been saying that people might not have been listening, but now it's coming from somebody else to kind of validate, you know, everything we've been saying. But she's having her one-year anniversary party here in Baltimore. And for her event, we wanted to do a performance, but once again, it wasn't about just Cynthia D'Anto. We wanted to bring out all of the, like, advanced dancers, seasoned gear advanced or intermediate advanced dancers, instructors, for the most part, that have on-tour experience. We wanted to kind of get everybody together. And I have a three-hour shine challenge that I'm going to do. I'm going to teach a shine routine, maybe, like, the song is maybe a minute, 30 seconds long. Minute 40 seconds at the most, and we're just all going to get out there, take 3 hours from 10 in the morning to 1 p.m. on Sunday at our studio in Catonsville. We're going to do it, practice it for 3 hours, and later on that night we're going to perform it. So if anybody that's advanced dancers is going to be 6350 Catonsville, 6350 Frederick Road in Catonsville, that's Dance and Artistic Expression Studio. I'm owned by Tabitha Hitch. She's one of our business directors. We're going to be there Sunday, September 25th at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. to 1, 3 hours, and we're going to go hard. So if you're a hardcore dancer, you think you got a lot of talent and you can learn fast, it's going to be a little tough. So come on out and we can do it together.
I'm coming if Nancy promises to give me coffee. She knows why I'm saying that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one more thing, if y'all want to look up what we're doing, you can check out everything else we're doing on our website, www.sentimientodance.com, sentimientodance.com, and all of our events and classes and everything on there, so you can check us out.
Cool. Well, I think that that wraps it up. If you have anything else you want to include, Mumble, so you know, say now forever hold your peace.
Nah, I'm pretty cool, and I just wanted for that shirt. You hooked me up with a nice instrumental shirt. I rocked that joint, got my name in the back. I thank you. I thank you once again for calling in and holding out and sharing some love, man. I really appreciate it. And, you know, good luck in Baltimore. I really appreciate your going, trying to bring Baltimore together. I feel you on that. I'm with you on that. That's what it's all about, bringing thousands of people together, bring the team together. I mean, you know, keep on doing it, bro. Keep on doing it.
I'm trying, man. Yeah, so definitely, man. Appreciate everything. Appreciate the support. I'm looking forward to your new thing you got going on. I don't know if you mentioned it, but I know you told me about your new thing coming up. So
yeah.
I'll definitely be in Baltimore supporting.
Appreciate that.
For sure.
All right, guys. Once again, Brandon Bachata, Sentimental in the house. Thank you.
So again.
Word is born. Once again, I'd like to thank you guys for for checking in with us. Word is born. This has been crazy. This has been a crazy night, man. We have few callers, have people calling in from Virginia. And we have Brandon from Bachata. For those who don't know, I mean, you know, Brandon Bachata, you know, they're doing big things. They got Sentimental, dance team, and I like what they're doing there. And they just been holding it down and doing, you know, a lot of great events and stuff. Really cool people. You know, I really want to touch base with them because, like, again, I came in on the end tip of it, of the drama, and it was crazy because just like myself, you know, I'm cool with everybody. You know, I have friends that are in Baltimore, and I feel bad because I want to go to other events, and I do go to events. So a lot of times I'm so busy, but you know, when people know that I'm there and they see that I'm there and supporting everybody, you know, you get, you know, that face, and you don't want to hurt nobody. There's a lot of people that feel that way because I talk to people in the scene, and they're like, you know, they don't want to hurt anybody. They just want everybody to get along, and I'm glad that he's taking that step. Hopefully this being the right thing, and I think it is. Word on. So hopefully, you know, going to the right direction. Anyway, DJ Mamba Soul, once again, you can check me out on Facebook at djmambasoul@gmail.com. Like my page. Check me out on Salsa Underground. We do this every first and third Sunday from 5 to 10 o'clock. And then also, I got an event coming up, Dressing White Affair with Salsa Now, actually in Baltimore. That's going on September 17th. That's going to be at the All White Affair in Havana. So I will be there as well. You heard about Latin Party that's coming up. That's coming up very shortly. I believe it's on the 25th. So there's a lot of things coming out there as well as in D.C. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I don't know what happened to my co-host. I lost her here. So, Helena, where you at, girl? Helena. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. And DJ Mamba Soul, I'm out. Peace. Thank you.